If you have your Bible, if you would, open it up this morning to one of the most familiar scriptures in the Bible, Psalm 23. I want to read this to you today. I want to share a couple things on it, and then we'll partake in communion together. And what a just a perfect moment to share communion together with everyone this morning. As I read this, I've heard many times throughout the years this six verses talked about from the Bible. I've heard many times that there's a greater emphasis placed on the sheep, and I've heard, I don't know that they were well-meaning people. I have my doubts the older I get that they would stand up and say, sheep are stupid, sheep are dumb, and go on and on and on, berating sheep. And that's why, you know, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, because he's got to take care of the dumb sheep. Well, the reality of it is that's not true, and that nothing could be further from the truth. Sheep are not stupid, and they're not dumb. Do sheep and human beings make some decisions sometimes that we could turn around and say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that? But the reality of, and I did a little research on it, and I happened, one of the first jobs I ever had was working on a sheep farm. The first manure I ever pitched was sheep manure. Has anybody else in here ever done that? I knew you did, John. Did you, Brad? I could talk, find out, because sheep manure is like nothing else. I remember walking in, and it was like walking on the floor. And I was with the guy, and I says, oh, we're already down to the floor. He goes, no, we're not. Stand back. And he takes a pickaxe and starts breaking up the sheep manure. I got to be careful. I'll go in a whole different direction here in a minute. But sheep are very intelligent and have incredible memory and recognition skills. They build friendships. They stick up for one another in fights. They feel sad when they lose friends. They recognize voices, and they remember 50 different faces for more than 2 years. The University of California, they did a study on the rams, and that they observed that they establish firm friendships, and they look out for one another in times of need. Rams were found to form the longest relationships, and they intervened on behalf of their weaker colleagues and supported each other in a fight. They can deliver one of the most painful kicks that you could ever get if you get too close to them, especially if they are defending their young. And I didn't even know this, their peripheral vision is such that they have horizontal slit-shaped pupils that allow them to see behind themselves without turning their heads. That's pretty impressive. It took me back some 50-some years now, and I remember walking by this little feeder where the sheep were. They're all in there eating, minding their own business, and all of a sudden one of them just whacked me in the leg with his foot. I didn't even know who it was because they did it so fast, but they were telling me, I saw you, you didn't even know I was looking, but I was here. I could go on with sheep stories all day, but I better stop. So when we hear about sheep, obviously there are some vulnerabilities to the animal, sheep, and to you and I. But the emphasis in this 23rd Psalm is not on how pitiful we are, but how great the shepherd really is to us. And the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. And verse 11, he goes on to say right after that, I am the good shepherd. I love that. And it's his favorite description that Jesus would use even to describe himself. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says, know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Could I hear a great meh this morning? So I want you to read this with me. I'll have it up on the screen, but I just want you to read it out loud as I read it with me this morning, okay? Psalm 23, verse 1, I'm reading out of the New King James. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, and somebody said a great amen today. Amen. Amen. He's not just our shepherd. He's not somebody else's, but he's my shepherd. He is intimately involved in my life. I just want to share a few thoughts. And we hear this really quoted many times at a funeral service or something, but this is for every day of our lives. Number one, the shepherd provides. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, meaning that he will take care of everything. And the Hebrew meaning for that is that I will lack for absolutely nothing. And maybe you're in a place where you've gone through a tough time or a lean time in your life, but by day's end, you must know and realize God is going to provide for you so that you will have lack of nothing. He is a provider. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 22 that when God told Abram to take his son, his only son, up to the hill of Mount Moriah and offer him on one of the mountains there, Abraham did exactly what God said to him to do. But in verse 12 in Genesis 22, here comes the angel of the Lord, says, don't harm the boy, don't do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God because you did not withhold your son, your only son, from me. Abraham looked up and saw behind him a ram caught in the bushes by its thorns, and he went over, got the ram, and he offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord provides. That's where the word, the phrase Jehovah Jireh comes from. He provides. It is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, provision will be made. He's telling you and I that no matter what you don't have, God has enough for you. And if he doesn't have it, he will create it just for you when you need it. Not when you think you need it, but when you need it, he's going to come through and he's going to bring it to pass for you. And it may be a tight time. You may be in a desperate place. You may feel like there's no way through or no way out. But can I tell you, our good shepherd is providing a way for you. He's giving you resource. He's causing you to live with what you need at the moment that you need it, maybe not 1 minute before, but he's never late. He's always just right on time. Always. Philippians 4:19, my God, he'll meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Maybe you think that he should come through sooner than he does, but I'm telling you, he'll come through when you need him the most. The shepherd also, number two, he's a restorer. People go through seasons in their lives where the Bible says they need to be restored. And the shepherd, he is able to do that. I was going over this yesterday in my office. I spent most of the day in my office alone. I do my thing on Saturday. I have particular worship music that I listen to. And as I'm going over this, I'm feeling this tug from heaven that God is going to restore someone today. And I just begin to weep. And I wept most of the afternoon. My wife comes home and I begin to tell her about it. I started crying in front of her. I said, honey, I don't know what's going on, but God is restoring to somebody what you have need of. He's fixing what is broken in your life. He's taking care of what somebody has taken from you. God as a restorer. He will bring back to life. He will restore what the enemy has stolen from you. And when he is caught, the Bible says he's got to give it back, and he's going to give it back with interest into your life today. I believe that. I speak that over somebody's life today. And how does he do it? The Bible says he makes you to lie down not just anywhere, but in a green pasture, a place of fresh, of that's lush, a place where shepherds lead their sheep. And you know why he makes you and I sometimes? Because sometimes we don't even know that we need it. Have you ever taken a couple days off and at the end of the time you say, wow, I didn't even realize how tired I was. I didn't realize how much I needed that. Some of you are here today. You may not even have planned to come here today, but when you leave, you're going to look at yourself and you're going to say, man, I really needed that today. This is a green pasture that God is providing for somebody right now, that he can restore you, put you back together, get you heading in the direction that you need to go, to get away from all the noise in your life and come to a peaceful place where he'll give you what you're lacking in your life. I've heard it say that some have said, some with the same background and thinking as the ones that say the sheep are stupid, that they have to break the leg of the sheep to make it lie down in the green pasture. And nothing could be further from the truth. God does not break the legs of his sheep. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother's sheep with her young. He's not an abuser. He's a shepherd. He's a lover. He cares for you. He wants to restore you. He wants you to bring you back from a place where you're wandering and you don't know how you got to where you're at. He's saying, come on home to me. I love you. I've got a plan for you. And I'm going to put you back together and cause you to lie down in a place that you will be fed and nourished and restored to be who God has called you to be. The shepherd, he also leads us. The Bible says he leads beside the still waters because many are in a place that is just so loud and so noisy that you need a moment of stillness in your life. He leads you in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. He leads me in the right path because sometimes I find myself going in a wrong way. I'm thinking of an old song, Prone to Wander, and I can't think of the rest of it. That my wife could come up and sing it if I ask her. We are prone to wander, are we not? But God brings us and he leads us into the right paths. He leads us down the right paths so that we can go into the direction that he has called you and I to go. You've heard me tell the story several times. Years ago, we had cattle on the farm, and Ryan took care of 98% of what went on with them. He knew those heifers. He had names for them. And every night he'd go out, he'd come home from school, he'd get their grain, he had a bucket, and he'd tap on that bucket. He'd just beat on that bucket, and he'd just start calling them. And all of a sudden, it wouldn't matter where they were, they would run like you would if I said I was giving out $100 bills. Those animals ran to him. They'd come up, and he wouldn't throw the grain in the feeder right away, but he'd let those heifers just kind of rub on him a little bit. He had one he called Licky because she'd just come up behind him, just start licking him all over. He'd get a kick out of that, and then he taught the heifer. He'd grab onto her ears, and he'd sit on her nose, and she'd just pick him up in the air like that. I'll never forget him. Say, Dad, look at this. Look at what she's doing to me. And I'm thinking, yeah, she's going to throw you right over her head one of these days. But he'd beat on that bucket. And one night, 2:30, 3 in the morning, I'd get this call back in the days when we had house phones. How many of you still have a house phone? Wow. Okay. Living in the old times. Anyways, we had a house phone. I get a call, 2:33 in the morning. Hello, this is the police department, sheriff, state police. I don't know who it was. He said, do you have animals? Yes. Do you know where they are? Yes. Where are they? I said, they're up in the barn, up back. You sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. I said, so-and-so's got animals. Did you call them? Yeah, we called them. They went out and looked. There's a there. Well, this person, other, they've got animals too. Did you call? Yeah, we called them. They went and looked. All their animals are there. He said, we called everybody else. You're the last one. I said, okay. I get up. I walk up there. Sure, every one of those animals are gone. You know where they are? They're up the road almost a mile next to the thruway, and they're as close as for me to the communion table away from the thruway, lying down in a green grass on the side of the road. There's state troopers, there's sheriffs, there's police, there's every kind of first responder up there. He said, how are we going to get these animals home? Ryan said, Dad, I can get them home. He gets that bucket, and he starts tapping on it, and he starts calling him. And all of a sudden, one by one, guess what they did? They followed, and those police all got together. They looked. They said, we've never seen anything like this in all of our lives. I should have taken a picture of it. There, Ryan, little Ryan at the time, probably this tall, he's walking up the lane, and he's got 60 head of animals, and the last guy is almost a ton in weight, black Angus bull, following him all the way home. The shepherd, he doesn't beat people. He leads people, and he will lead you. John 10:3 said, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they won't follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Do you know his voice? For the shepherd supports us. The Bible says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. And some of you may be walking there today in your life. Some of you may be feeling like the end is near. You can't move on anymore. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. But the Lord, he stood by my side. He gave me the strength. And everybody might walk out of your life, but he will never leave you nor forsake you. When everybody else walks out, that's when Jesus gets up and the shepherd comes in. And he'll never desert you. He will support you. He will lift you up. He will encourage you. He will build you up and tell you in the face of calamity, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. You're going to get through this. God is for you. And if he's for you, I said nobody can be against you. You ought to give God a better praise on a Labor Day weekend than that. Jesus said in John 11, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And he said, do you believe this? You got to believe this. He's to support you. And then he defends us. The shepherd defends you and I. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They're not there to abuse you. He said the rod and the staff are not there to beat you down. They're there to defend you. Oh, praise God. Aren't you thankful that you got a shepherd when others are trying to hurt you or take something from you, that you have a shepherd that says, they might get it up on you this time, but I'm going to get that back, and I'm going to defend you, and I'll stand for you in the face of your calamity, and I'll fight for you when no one else will fight for you. John 10:11 says he's the good shepherd. He lays his life down for the sheep. Where? He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Let me tell you something. Whatever the enemy is using to derail you, God will turn it around. And we sang that song today. He'll work what the enemy meant for evil, and he'll turn it around, and he'll do something good for it in Jesus' name. Somebody needs to hear that. He's going to work it out. And then the Bible says in number 6 that the shepherd blesses. Surely goodness and mercy, they'll follow me all the days of my life. That means that they'll chase you down. You got blessings that are coming to you, and you don't even realize that sometimes we live in our lives and we get so focused on our own little stuff that's happening that we don't even remember that goodness and mercy are chasing us down. They want to bless you. You got a blessing behind. Just look around behind you and say, whoa, it's coming at me. Come on, some of you need that today. And then last, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knew, and you and I must know as well, that when our love grows for God, it also grows for the house of God. Come on today. David said He loved God's house. I want those that are going to help with communion, if you'd come right now, help me prepare to hand that out this morning. When you receive the bread and the cup today, I want you to hold it until everyone is served together. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, you can do that right now. You don't have to wait for a special invitation. Just ask him. Say, Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Come in. Take over my life. Forgive me of my past, my sin. Be the Lord of my life. Do that right now. Maybe some of you, you're here and you're away from God. Maybe you came today and it was one of the first times you've been in church in a long time. It was hard for you to come, but you know God is pursuing you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's got a plan for you. He's working all things out for your good because not only he loves you, but you love him. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. When you receive it, close your eyes. Do some business with God right now. Ask him, Lord, work in my life. Lord, I need that blessing. I need the defending. I need the support, Lord, today. I need you to lead me and show me. Lord, I need to be restored today. God, I need you to provide. You need to make a way for me, Lord. Have that moment with him. Let him speak to your life. Let him speak to your heart. Let him transform your life today. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, Lord. So when you receive it, hold it. We'll all partake together. Just close your eyes just a moment. Let him have his way in your heart. This could be a transforming moment for someone. You're here if you're sick in your body today. He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, God. Some of you, you're prone to wander. Andy picked that up. He's playing that now. Just your eyes closed. Just listen, just for a moment. If you were not served and you want to be, raise your hand up right now so they can meet that need. Good. Let's close your eyes with me just for a moment before we partake together. Some of you, you have a propensity to wander. I don't have to explain that. You know what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit is putting his finger on that in your life right now. You could be younger, you could be older. The older that I get, you know, when I was younger, I used to think, well, people get a little older, they think a little different. The older I get, the more I find out, yeah, when people get a little, sometimes some, they get a little older, they get a little crazier. Age has nothing to do with it. Prone to wander. God is saying to someone today, come on home. Come home. I'm not talking about coming home to church, but maybe that's a part of it for some of you. Come home to Jesus. Get back to the place where you once were. Thank you, Lord, for being our shepherd. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. You cause me, make me to lie down in pastures that are green. You lead me beside the still water. You restore my soul. You lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they defend me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in God's house forever. Lord, as we partake of the bread together today, we remember what you have done for us. We remember Christ our shepherd. Oh, praise your name, God. As we partake of this bread, Lord, for some of us, help us to reset our lives. Though you do the labor, Lord, you require of us to move in the direction. So when we partake this morning, God, this is by faith we're saying we're moving in that direction today. Jesus took bread, he blessed it, he broke it. He said, this is my body. As often as you eat this, remember me. Lord, we remember you today. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Somebody needs to hear this, that God has forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself. In the same way he took the cup. It's my blood, he said. New covenant. As often as you drink this, you remember what I've done for you. The cross. Thank you, Lord, for shedding your blood for us. Let's partake of the cup of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer people, just make your way to the front if you would. Spirit of the living God, we trust you with our lives, with our future, with our families. Help us not to wander. Help us, Lord, I pray. Thank you that you are our good shepherd. I pray favor, blessing, and the kindness of God to be upon every life here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you so much. I thank God for you so much. I pray that you have an incredible weekend, that you enjoy yourselves, but don't leave God out of it. He never takes a holiday, and neither does afflictions, trouble. Don't think for a minute that the enemy is going to take a day off. He's not. Keep him in the midst of everything that you do, okay? I love you. God bless you. Go in his grace. You need prayer? Come on down. Let these beautiful people that are down here pray with you and for you.